Bright the golden sun was setting. Oh, stop a minute, because that's going on. On her arm, her laughing baby, with his father's dark hair played. As he lingered there beside them, leaning on his trusty spade. I am going to the wheat lot, with a smile, said Robert Gray. Will you be too lonely, Marjorie, if I leave you all the day? Then she smiled, cheerful answer, ere she spoke a single word. And the tone of her replying was as sweet as song of bird. No, she said, I'll take the baby and go stay with Annie Brown. You must meet us there, dear Robert, ere the sun has just gone down. Thus they parted strong and sturdy, all day long he labored on, spading up the fertile acres from the stubborn forest spun. But when Lansing Shatters warned him that the sun was in the well, down the woodland aisles he hastened, whispering now for home and rest. But when he had reached the cabin of their friend a mile away, neither wife nor child was waiting there to welcome Robert Gray. She is safe at home, said Annie, for she went an hour ago. While the woods was still illumined by the sunset's golden glow. For back he sped, but night was falling, and his steps he scarce could see. Here and there his feet were guided onward by some decayed tree. But then he had gained their cabin, black and dazzled as it stood. Lonely hearth, the winter's trail of in the stillest solitude. Back he sped, but night was falling. But the scattered settlers gathered from their clearings far and near. And the solemn woods resounded with their voices ringing clear. Woe, woe to pretty Marjorie with her baby on her arm. Through the dim woods she went singing, fearing nothing that would harm. But all else in peril pausing, gazed she round in blank dismay. Where were all those white-scarred hemlocks barking out the lonely way? God of mercy, she had wandered from the pathway, not a tree. Could her kind of straining vision never remember where she would see? Night. From the heart of Marjorie Gray, all night long her bosom cradled is a pallid thing of clay. Three more days she bore it with her on her rough and toilsome way, till across its marble beauty stole a peck spots of decay. Then she knew that she must leave it in the wilderness to sleep, where the prowling wildebeest only watch above his grave would keep. Dumb with grief, she sat beside it. Oh, how long she never knew. Was the tale her mother taught her of the good old father true. When at last stern life the tartan bid her take her burden up, to her lips so pale and shrunken pressed again a bitter cup. On she drove, that night was falling, and her steps she scarce could see. Often, often in the shadows, some lonely she only see. One chill morning in October, when the woods were brown and bare, through the streets of Axon Charlestown, with a strange bewildered air, walked a gaunt and pale woman, whose disheveled locks of brown o'er her neck, her breast and shoulders in the wind were streaming down. Wandering glances fell upon her, women veiled their modest eyes, as she ventured slowly toward them with a hilarious surprise. "'Tis some crazy one," they murmured, back her tangled hair she tossed. "Oh, kind friends, take pity on me, for I'm not mad but lost." Then she told her piteous story in a vague, disguised way. With her cold, white lips she murmured, "Take me back to Robert Gray." But the river said, they pondering, "We are on the other side. How cost you his rapid waters, deep the channel is and wide?" But she said she had not crossed it in her strange erratic course. She had wandered first northward till she reached its fountain shore. And then in the dark Canadian forest, and then blindly roaming on, down the wild New Hampshire valley, her bewildered feet had gone. Sweet the joy, oh the joy, bells sweet the ringing on the frosty autumn air. Oh, the boats across the river, how they leaped the sail to bear. Oh, that wondrous golden sunset of that blessed October day, when that weary life was folded to the heart of Robert Gray.